Even Sniper stared in puzzlement. Yes. Yes, that sounds good. He looked to Occam. Occam. Agreed. Thank you for coming, Council Mason. Thank you for doing what you can to keep this out of the public eye and to shield us from high politics and hive leader idiocy, which seems to be primarily responsible for the day's fiasco. But thank you just as much for leaving us to handle our own ourselves. J.E.D.D. Mason paused but did not turn. It may not help. Secrets pour out like water, even from a single hole. Now curiosity bested even Sniper. What do you... Occam shook his head. Stop, Cardigan. How Sniper hates that name. Just let them go. All under Occam's command watched in rapt but disciplined silence as this strangest of princes padded away on his nearly lifeless feet. Carlyle was not under Occam's command. How did you do that? He gave a little running chase to catch the visitor in the barren trophy hall. J.E.D.D. Mason's slow gaze fell now upon the gag gene. You cannot be this bash's sensei. The comment struck strangely, but Carlyle managed a smile. I'm new. What befell your predecessor? Too uncomfortable. How did you know? Carlyle pressed. Back there? You knew. Confession. Karma. Even after all was already exposed, the sensei would not speak the forbidden names of faiths. Did you look at their files? That's a horrible abuse of privacy. No files. Even as he spoke, J.E.D.D. Mason neither sped nor slowed, but made for the exit with a steady minimum of motion most practical for human limbs. He, Yapari Premenda. His eyes searched Carlyle for Nation Strat insignia. You speak only English? This cousin, raised by cousins, nodded. Then I cannot sufficiently explain. But J.E.D.D. Mason's feet still sought the door. What name was given you, Sensei? Carlyle Foster? What happened to this Bash's real Sensei? Carlyle blinked. They passed away, recently. Be careful with this Bash, Carlyle Foster. I exit now because I love truth. So I perceive I am a danger to this Bash, and it to me. That is clear. As clear to me as it was clear which of those loyal soldiers inside feared karma and which sin. You too seem to love good, and dialectic at least, if not raw truth. I advise you to part from this Bash before you harm each other. But I recognize your right to incur risk in service of your vocation. He lowered his voice. And your maker. Carlyle screamed inside at this last and deepest violation of that special privacy, which is the last thing in the world our cautious public still calls sacrosanct. It was no easy thing to distill his objections into words, so he watched in silence as this famous stranger, as strange as he was famous, made his soft retreat. The tribunary guards followed him closely, and one paused, turning back with a frown and gentle gesture of apology for her ward's strangeness. Moments later, the Utopian car took off, and J.E.D.D. Mason had vanished as abruptly as he had come. What then? It was too much, his strangeness, much too much. They needed answers, all of them. Once the drill troops were dismissed and the house secure once more, each Bash member turned to his favorite oracle. Occam and Sniper to their prisoners and their president, Cato and Eureka to their computers and their surveillance tapes, while Carlyle and Thisbe raced down the flower trench to me. Chapter the 17th. Tocqueville's Valet. Thisbe's summary had far less detail than my reconstruction of the scene, but it was enough. "He can't find Dominic?" I cried. "He?" Thisbe repeated, scowling. "What's up with you and J.E.D.D. Mason, Mycroft? No lies." I had not heard myself slip. "Martin and Dominic work for them." "That isn't what I asked." I feared Thisbe more as she hid behind the black curtain of her thick Indian hair, leaving me no chance to read her face. "They talked about you very familiarly. You know this person well. You knew the investigation was in their hands. You knew they might come here, but you didn't give us any warning. They were..." Adjectives failed her. "Like that." Bridger, still in my lap, winced at Thisbe's harshness. He had heard her summary. The Major, too, still seated on the rooftop of the dollhouse beside us, with the fascinated soldiers in the plastic rooms below. "Are you okay, Mycroft?" Bridger asked, furrowing his smooth, young brow. "You're shaking." "I'm fine." I mussed his hair, using the gesture to disguise the moment when I whispered in his ear, "Start packing as soon as this is done." His eyes went wide, but good boy, he nodded. I met Thisbe's glare. "I see you've made the unilateral decision that Carlyle Foster is allowed to know where Bridger lives." That mistake stilled her a moment, and she looked around as if only now seeing the dollhouses and books and playthings piled in the secret cave. She turned to the veteran beside me. "Sorry, Major, I forgot. But I think we've all decided we can trust Carlyle now." I let my voice stay dark. "That's not your call, Thisbe." The Major shifted in his dull chair. "Done is done. You are the bigger question at the moment, Mycroft. What is there between you and this... we're talking about a hiveless tribune?" "Among many, many other offices," Thisbe loomed over me. "Including that they're Cornell Mason's child." "Bosch child or real child?" the Major asked. Thisbe glared at his unmodern denial that the bond between Ba Kid and Ba Pa is as real as blood. I supplied the truth. "Adopted son." "And heir?" the Major asked. Thisbe indulged in a chuckle. "No, can't blame you, Major. It's a modern thing. But Masonic emperors aren't dynastic. They're never succeeded by their children. It's a rule. The Porphyra gene is usually a familiaris, but they're the only familiaris who can't become Masonic emperor." The Major frowned pensively as he wrapped his head around that one. "So, adopting a child makes them ineligible. Interesting choice. Now I want to know even more about this boy an emperor would choose to hold so close but block from the succession." Thisbe would not give an inch. "It's not just the Masons. I knew vaguely about J.E.D.D. Mason, everybody does, but I read more on the way here. I knew they were Romanova's youngest tribune, but..." "Second youngest," I corrected. "In 2299, Jiahia Rattlewatch was elected Black Law Tribune at the age of 15. It doesn't even require passing the adulthood competency exam." Thisbe punished my derailment by firing up the screen that sat beside the Major and loading J.E.D.D. Mason's profile from last year's Romanov 710 list. "They have some kind of insider advisor or legal position in five hives besides the Masons. Europe, the Cousins, Brill's Institute, the Mitsubishi, and us, too." I avoided her gaze. "All the hive leaders have known J.E.D.D. Mason since they were a small child, and all the hive leaders are impressed by them, rely on them, and trust their counsel. That's why everybody gives them offices, and that's why they were trusted with investigating this crime that threatens all six." "Why? Why does everybody trust them when they act like that? Confession? Karma? And their assistants, Dominic and Martin, how cultish can you get?" I knew better than to meet her eyes. "Martin's real name is Mycroft Guildbreaker." "So what? J.E.D.D. Mason changed Mycroft to Martin in order to fit in with these other crazy cult things? Are they Boschmates? Carlyle interjected gently. Thisbe turned. What? Dominic, Martin and J.E.D.D. Mason, are they Boschmates? Bossibs? A Bosch interested in theology? The sensei tried his best to smile Thisbe's wrath away. It wouldn't have to be a cult. We see this sometimes, a Bosch interested in theology, who like to debate religion in secret and try their best to do so safely. Like Mycroft likes to. Bridger piped up, eager as a bird. Except I know that we're not supposed to. Carlyle smiled sweet forgiveness. Yes, like with Mycroft and you. It's okay when it's just two people, though. Sometimes it can turn cult-like with larger groups, which is why the first law bans unchaperoned discussions with three or more. But it usually starts as innocent exploration like you and Mycroft do. That's all this is, right, Mycroft? Dominic Seneschal is even a sensei. They may be doing officially sanctioned group sessions. I looked to the floor. You may not believe me, but I've had an urgent call. I need to go. Thisbe summoned a too sweet, too false smile, perfect to lure us to her candy house. Bridger, honey, get up off Mycroft for a minute, will you? Why? So I can pin them to the ground until they answer straight. Thisbe! Bridger settled more squarely in my lap, my brave defender. Why are you suddenly acting like you don't trust Mycroft? You know we can trust Mycroft. We can trust Mycroft more than anybody in the world. Mycroft's busy all the time with jobs, but they've been working as hard as they can to take care of all of us for years and years, harder than you work, Thisbe. A new expression surfaced on Thisbe, a smile far more terrifying than her glare. Mama Doll intruded now, gentle and irresistible. Yelly people don't get cookies. Bridger crossed his arms as if to shield me. It isn't Mycroft's fault bad things are happening at your Bosch house. If Mycroft says we can trust J.E.D.D. Mason, and all the hive leaders say we can trust J.E.D.D. Mason, and everybody else in the world says we can trust J.E.D.D. Mason, then I'll trust J.E.D.D. Mason. Why won't you? The witch crossed her arms, too. You didn't meet them. There's something unnatural about them. Witch again, Mycroft? I told thee I dislike that term. Apologies, reader. The memories of my thoughts and fears in this scene are rather overvivid. So what if there's something unnatural about them? The child shot back. Mycroft is weird. I'm weird. You're weird. The army men are weird. That's not important. I'm willing to go to J.E.D.D. Mason right now if Mycroft says I should. Not yet, I cried at once, surprised by the panic in my own voice. In the end, we'll go to J.E.D.D. Mason. But we need to put that off as long as possible. Why put it off, if you trust them? On Bridger's lips, the question was timid. Glaring in Thisbe's eyes, it was an accusation. Because there are dangerous people around J.E.D.D. Mason, I began. No, that's not the reason. It's because if we go to J.E.D.D. Mason, it'll be them who decides what happens to your future, Bridger, not you. I turned to the child, stroked his hair. It's best if you grow up a little more, have more ideas about what you want to do with your powers. In a few years, you'll be strong enough to decide things on your own, even to contradict J.E.D.D. Mason when you want to, but not yet. Best for now that you stay free. You may not have thought about it, reader, but free is not a word one hears much anymore. Not in its pure denotation. Almost everyone is so free these days, just as everyone is so healthy, happy, sentient, and alive, that one only mentions the quality if it is threatened. Unhealthy. Unfree. The major sighed his heavy veteran sigh. Mycroft, is J.E.D.D. Mason your Tocqueville? I swallowed. Yes. I see.